We'd like to welcome those of you who've joined us tonight for a midweek Bible study, Vangrove Baptist Church. Hope and pray you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, we're going to look at recognizing God's voice. Now, what I've done on this is recognizing God's voice compared to whose voice? And it's Satan's. How do we recognize when God is speaking to us and when the world or Satan is speaking to us or is in control of our thoughts? One thing as human beings we find that our mind will play games on us, if it's playing at all. It'll play games on us, and we can imagine that, you know, something is the right thing to do, or, you know, well, this voice keeps telling me this. And then a lot of times it's this voice is a human desire and not what God is saying to us. So I want us to look at it, and let's go through seven question tests that we can use on our own lives and teach others or share with others. Proverbs 14, verse 12. What you think is the right road may lead to death. Let's see, the old English on that is, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Well, this is good news. What you think is the right road may lead you to death. Therefore, what's our main problem that we seem to be involved with? We deal more on what we think than what God says. That's why it's important for us to stick to God's word. Well, what do you think, Brother Larry? You don't really want to know that. You want to know if I have scripture that I can remember or lead you to where what does God say about this? And so that's what I want us to do tonight. Be careful about thinking you're on the right road. Randy and I had that conversation Tuesday. And do you think there would be people that think they're going to heaven that's not going to heaven? And my answer is sure, yes. Many people still believe that the road to heaven is, okay, I'm going to heaven because I go to church, I was baptized, I've done all these good things. And one of the hardest personalities to lead to the Lord, and I'm talking about that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is an individual who's one of the most perfect citizens you'll ever find. And you can almost, you know, look to their life and everything that is done. They've crossed the T's and dotted the I's. That individual does not see themselves as needing saved. They will not relate to salvation with Jesus. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? I do all these things. I read the Bible, and I do those things that Scripture tells me. Why, I even come close to keeping all 10 commandments. Well, when they start with that, you know that they already broke one. And so, but they think, well, this is the way, you know, and I've been. But the way is always that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So, be careful about your thinking. Hadn't your thoughts got you in a whole lot of trouble? And we even have scripture that says, such as adultery. If you look at a woman for men, if you look at a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery within your own heart. And a lot of people will throw that out and use that as saying, well, now, so here's what's wrong, because for you to think it is as bad as you do it. And I said, no, it's not. I'd rather you think about killing me rather than falling through and killing me. You know, no, I'd much rather you keep it in your brain that I'd love to kill Larry Vance rather than acting on that feeling or that emotion. 1 John 4:1, don't believe everything you hear just because someone says it is a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. And those are the tests we're going to get into. How do you do that? John 7:17, Jesus speaking. Anyone who wants to do God's will can test this teaching and know whether it's from God or whether I'm making it up. Jesus said, look, I came down, you know, I've told you who I am. I've showed you the miracles. The Father and I are one. Now, if you don't believe it, see, these scribes, all of these well-educated of the day, and the scholars of theology, he's saying, wait a minute, I'm quoting Scripture. Yeah, and remember, Jesus Christ never said anything that his Father didn't tell him to say. Now, that will tell us a lot. He said that himself. Not one word have I spoken that my Father didn't give me to say. Now, let's go. The 7 question tests from the Bible so you will know if you are hearing God's voice. Test number 1. Does it agree with the Bible? Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. If the first test, if it's not scriptural, it's not of God. If it's not scriptural, it's not of God. And then people will say, well, wait a minute. If it's not scriptural, it's not of God. When I get into the Old Testament, I see a whole lot of things that, you know, the men of God and the women of God did. And I said, you're right, a whole lot of things. But God didn't bless them. They did it. But it wasn't. You got to be careful with how you read the Scripture. Remember what we talk about Job? You be careful when you're reading all the wisdom that is Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and Elihu was giving him. Because God said, everything you all said is wrong. So, and here you've already quoted it to somebody out of there, you know, and God says it's wrong. Now, either you go ask Job to pray for you, or I'm not even going to forgive you. That shook him up. Okay, Proverbs 12:19. Truth stands the test of time. Truth, okay, what do we find in the Word of God? My words will never pass away. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We got it? Again, when people say that, folks, that's the reason I said, God willing, that next year I want to do the whole focus on the words in red, as we would call it, on what does Jesus say? What's the focus that Jesus, if you're worried about something, you've seen it in the Old Testament, or any focus that is bothering you, get in the three gospel or the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get in those three gospels. I suggest you read the Gospel of John first, and because that's the priestly. There's where you will find a lot of the statements that Jesus said concerning from the Old Testament. Truth stands the test of time. Galatians 1:8. Let God's curse fall on anyone. Now see, people who do this stuff are so foolish. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, Paul says, who preaches any other message. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him be forever cursed. Man, that'll get you thinking, won't it? You mean that angels from heaven still come down? Well, we know they still come down. The Scripture says many times you entertain angels and don't even know you're doing it. But The point he was getting across, it doesn't matter who you are, if you, under any circumstances, if you preach a different gospel, then all the curses be upon you. So there's the test number one. Does it agree with the Bible? When we're talking about does it agree with the Bible, we're talking about does it agree with the Word of God in that scripture? Is what we're saying in agreement with what God says? Now, where are you going to find what God says if you don't look in the Bible? Well, I got a friend, and, he pretty sharp, and going to ask him. He's not that sharp. Therefore, read the Bible. Read the Word. Well, I just trust this guy so much. Well, that's foolish. Don't trust him too much. The only one that you put your eternal life trust in is Jesus Christ. And he says, here's my guidelines. Read it for yourself. Test number two, does this make me more like Christ? If whatever it is you're doing, ask yourself that question. Does this make me more like Christ? Well, if I stand back and sort of look at it, it makes me look like more of the people standing around the foot of the cross in a uniform with a spear in their hand instead of Jesus. It's just an idea. Pause. Think about it. Does this make me more like Christ? That's something I tell folks, have over the years, and I still hold to this. When they come to me, or they would say, this is what went on in my life, and they tell me what it is, which I hate, but people will tell you before you can stop them. And now, what I want you to tell me, Brother Larry, should I tell him or should I tell her, my wife or my husband, about this? Now, how long ago did that happen? Oh, I guess about 20-some years ago. But what I always say to them is this. If what you're getting ready to confess or tell, think about it this way. Is what you're getting ready to say going to glorify God? Is it going to lift up another human being? Or is it going to do greater harm for you to tell it? Oh, no, this one husband said, if I told her that, she would divorce me. And I said, well, shut up. Why are you going to tell her something? You're not that way anymore. But see, that's a trick of Satan. Satan says, oh, if you are really a Christian, Jesus, oh, if you truly are the Son of God, here's what you need to do. Well, Satan does the same thing to us. Then you need to just go confess everything. For one thing, you can't confess everything. Because there's not anybody within the sound of my voice that can remember all the wrong that they've done. I can't. You know, you say, well, you got to name it and claim it. You got to name that sin. Well, if I can remember the sin, then I would name it and claim it with the Lord in a closet. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. Why not? Because it would do damage. Nothing that God is blessing you with should ever be used to do damage to others. And I've heard people get up and give their testimony. That's one of the reasons I stopped it in this church years ago. And the testimony so often turned into a gossip session. And saying, well, I know that. And they start calling names like worse than that Mississippi Squirrel Revival clip that was going on. They start naming names over that whole thing. And, how does that glorify God? So therefore, does it make me more like Christ? Proverbs 2:5. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. I don't ever remember him even wanting. You know, the only ones he ever embarrassed, it was never the ones caught in prostitution, doing on all of the other. He didn't embarrass them. He forgave them. It was all the legalists. It was all the lawyers, the biblical scholars. And he nailed them simply because they pretended like they were the spokesman for God. But they had got all of what they said out of their own minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. Don't you wish in your life so many times that you'd sit and pondered, thought about what your tongue was getting ready to say before you cut it loose? Is that obedient to Christ? Well, let me just tell you, you're going to hell. Because, and I think, oh gosh, no one has such authority to tell someone they're going to hell. Only God. I think we'll see that tonight. James 3, 14 and 70 through 70. If you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition, such wisdom is of the devil. The wisdom that comes from God is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere. Now, in that kind, in that category, how are you going to go wrong? You get God's word out. You look at it. You pray. You think before you speak. Test 3, does my church family confirm it? Now, why would I say that or ask that question? When you join into a church family, then that church family is made up of individual Christians that worship in like manner as you do. That does not mean that the people in the other different Christian denominations who are worshiping are worshiping wrong. Doesn't mean that. And we should never say that it does. I never had trouble with the Methodists till they turned all the wasps loose in the Baptist churches. But, you know, and what people will do is, well, you know how they are. Well, I know how one of my relatives said to me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and this bothered me, because very educated, we're a good man. But he said all the multi-millionaires, all of them are just alike. They just are out to get it for themselves. And I said, why are you lumping them all together? Why would you say, you don't even know these people. Why would you say they're all like this? I said, they're not all the same. And then he got his hair ruffled, and he said, yes, they are, Larry. So I shut up, and I thought, this man knows better than that, with his education and all of this, but you lump everyone in the same, that's just like saying that all of us white people like peanut butter fudge. As close as I get. That's as close as I get on that one. Okay. Does my church family confirm it? Each one of us in here, every one of us know when a red flag goes up. I mean, folks, I've been around you all for 21, going on 22 years. Oh, gosh. No wonder you're getting sick of me. But think of it. God blesses us with the spirit of thought where we know whether or not it is of God. We know that. Now, Ephesians 3:10, God's intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Why? Again, because it's through the church body. Why is church so important? Because not one of us together as an individual, none of us as an individual can totally represent Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ represents all personalities that have ever been created or ever shall. So therefore, the closest we can get to that is the body of Christ, the church, with each individual personality praying and God blessing each individual with particular gifts that only they will have and be able to give to the world through the body of Christ. Proverbs 11:9, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. Okay, when we're looking at that in Proverbs, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. When we become a Christian, we become righteous. Yes, we become righteous. But that righteousness is of Christ. So any one of us who would claim to be righteous, then each one of us as individuals, that righteousness is in who Jesus Christ is. Not us, not our wisdom, but because each one of us has the same Christ in us, but every one of us are picked by God for different tasks on earth, for different ministries, different directions, but still the same Christ. Proverbs 11:14, second part. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Speak to folks that exhibit the love of Christ. Take time, discuss, think, pray, and then pray some more. Prayer is the key to a relationship with Christ, and it is also the key to changing the world. Test number four. Is it consistent with how God shaped me? Remember, I did a whole class on the shape. Each one of us we have different gifts, right? All of us have different shapes. I would be one of those shape shifters. Because, I mean, my shape will go out and it'll go back in. It'll go out and go back in. Like yours, Larry. I mean, we just... Well, we did. Everything just reshapes. But God said, I've shaped you for your ministry. This is your ministry. Okay, Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Okay, notice that. In Christ Jesus to do good works. The works that we do outside of Christ Jesus are not the good works that God is speaking of. Well, he said that, don't they? Even the pagans take care of their own family, don't they? Yeah, some of them take care of their family better than the professing Christians do. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And if you keep reading that, you'll find he prepared before the foundations of the earth. God knew us before anything existed. Folks, it doesn't take much to get me in deep water, and that's deep. But I know it's true. Romans 12:6. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. We do certain things well. Some people are blessed with doing two or three certain things well. And people say, well, I don't know what my gift is. One of the greatest ways, the best way to find it, what do you love to do? Look at your life and see what you do that you're comfortable in doing. Yeah, but that's my secular life or so. No, that's the life God gave you. And he gave it to you for a purpose. Use that to glorify God. And you won't ever have to worry about where to live or whether you can or not. Automatically there. Test 5. Does it concern my responsibility? This is a good lesson here. And just this alone. Jesus said, just talk to Simon Peter. And this is after, remember, this is after Peter, this is after Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus is talking to him. And remember, he asked Simon Peter, Peter, do you love me? And three times he did, yes, I love you. Lord, yes, Lord, I love you. And each time he said, watch after my sheep. Feed my sheep. And then the third time, of course, Peter's getting all upset. Lord, I've already told you. Yeah, well, Peter, get over here and I'll slap you around. No. This is three times. Peter denied him three times. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And the last time he said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. Well, now let me tell you what happens with the human nature. The Son of God, resurrected Christ, just tells Peter, Peter, I am giving you a responsibility here. Feed my sheep. What does Peter do? Watch this. John 21:22. Peter then questions Jesus concerning John, the beloved, the penman here, the writer. Here's what Jesus said. Now, and he says, let me finish that story. Peter looks at John, who's standing right there with Jesus. And Peter says, what about him, Lord? What's he going to do? Huh? Isn't that something? What about him, Lord? What's he going to do? Maybe his blessing you're going to give him to do, I had rather do that than what you've told me to do. And there's where we are. But listen to what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, if I want him, Peter, to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Peter, you do what I've called you to do. It's none of your business what I'm going to have John do. But then he goes on and tells Peter, okay, you want to know what's going to happen to you? You do it now, Peter, while you have some youth within you. For the day is coming when you're old, and you will not have a choice where you are or where you go. You will be carried to places you don't want to. They will have to feed you. You won't be able to feed yourself. That was to tell Peter what death he was getting ready to die. Peter, this is going to happen. But Peter, this is your blessing. See, folks, ministry, even the call, even the touch, even for God to allow us to worship His name is such an honor. You think about how many times that God looks at His children and how they've thrown His blessings back in His face. How many times do they step on the blood of Christ to say there's another way other than Jesus to heaven? And you know, they go over all of this, and everybody looks at somebody else's ministry and says, I want to do what you do. Romans 14, verse 4. And that's a fact, isn't it? Huh? Pay attention to God. Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? Meaning, look, we Christians are the servants to Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? We're servants to Christ. Who are you, Paul says, to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. be careful when you're angry with someone or when you're wanting to get back at someone. Christians do it all the time. Don't do that. For if there is punishment that is needed, God says, I'll take care of that. It's none of your business, Peter, what I'm going to have him doing. You do what I told you to do. Romans 4:10 and then verse 13. We will all be judged one day, but not by each other's standards or even our own. I remember Paul saying that. He said, I don't even have a right to judge myself. Well, it took me forever to try to even catch on to that one. Because God says, I see you completed. You see yourself still broken. But I see you as having already being there with me. But by the judgment of God, it is to God alone that we shall have to answer for our actions. Nobody else. Test 6. Is it convicting rather than condemning? Got you a little diagram there I want you to look at for a minute. Conviction comes from God. Condemnation comes from Satan. Conviction from God exposes what's wrong. God says, oh, now wait a minute, Larry. Pay attention to me here. I want you to see where what you're doing or getting ready to do is wrong. Now, or Larry, it is already wrong and this needs to change. That's conviction from God. The voice you're hearing of condemnation is from Satan. That condemnation attacks your value, your worth, and Satan says you're worthless. How many times have you heard people say that about themselves? I'm worthless. Sometimes they will say it just to bring pity on themselves, which gets into another different category. But you want to know whether it's of God or not? God's saying, here's what you need to do, straighten it out. That's conviction. Condemnation from Satan is, you're worthless, I'm not going to mess with you. You'll never hear that from Christ. One of his children, he'll never kick out. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Jesus told you. Read that before, haven't you? There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now you think about that. You and I said yes to Jesus. Just one little speck of a comment of understanding about how much Jesus loves us. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Why is everybody wanting to say, well, yeah, well, that's fine. There is no condemnation until you really do something bad. You won't read that. I thought he said those who belong to Christ Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Paul said, I'm a slave to Christ. A slave to Christ. Therefore, he loves me. But then he says, I'm a fool for Christ. You know what he meant by that? Everybody was looking, say, anybody believe what you believe, Paul has got to be a fool. And Paul says, then let me be a fool for Christ. Because he loves me and I love him. Revelation 3 verse 19. This is the Amplified version. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Repent means changing your mind and your attitude. Changing your mind and your attitude. Revelation 12:10, Satan is the accuser of believers. You know, if you'll think about this and remember, That was the reason Satan was kicked out of heaven. He was an accuser continually against God's family. And he would no longer be allowed to come in the presence of God. Jesus says, I've thrown you, the accuser of the human race has been cast down. And it's sort of a hallelujah from heaven. But woe unto you on the earth, for he has come down with great vengeance, because he knows his time is short. Whew. Test 7. Do I sense God's peace about it? Whatever it is. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Now people will say, oh, well now there you're dealing with human emotions. No, I'm not. I'm dealing with spiritual content of that Christian. God is not the author of confusion. Therefore, I automatically know that if it's confusing in the church, whatever it is, it's not of God. God doesn't do that. God does not confuse. He wants his plan of salvation laid out as simple. And that's why he calls those of us who are simple to preach it and to lay it out. And it's the idea of keep it real. And in order to keep it real, you keep it simple. If a child can understand it, you're blessed. And if the intellectuals laugh at the way you do it, they're not. But the message is still for them also. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. There's again where we get caught into, well, God don't want to hear me ask him about that. That doesn't mean anything. He's too busy. No, that just means we're too hungry to talk to him about it. Because what if I talk to him about it and he says, no, you shouldn't. Or I get that feeling that God's peace. All of a sudden I get, no, it's something. Have you ever said something just doesn't feel right about that? Then you search God's peace. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And then thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Listen to this wise advice. Follow it closely, for it will do you good. And you can pass it on to others. Wise advice from God is the life and the heartbeat of the church. His. John 8, verse 47. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is that you do not belong to God. That was Jesus talking again to the Pharisees. You know, that's pretty rough. But what his whole point was, you didn't warn the people. You didn't even recognize me when I came as the Son of God, and my Father told you. Moses told you. If you believe in Moses is so powerful, why don't you believe what Moses said? Because he spoke of me to you. And yet you do not believe. For those of you who don't have a church home, you within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us. 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.